This is Mark Gregory for a Star News special. I'm here in the studio with
Alexander Jones.
And we are now joined by Nathan Elias Ruby, who is our fourth presidential candidate for this afternoon.
Hello.
Once again, if you have just tuned in, Jamie Ross will not be joining us. I'm not sure if it's a yoghurt-based incident or anything like that, but he did say he would send me some words to read out on his behalf, but I never received them. So, Jamie Ross, I'm sorry I can't do anything for you today.
I imagine it's more food-based problems.
Probably, yeah. Maybe some cheese that had a bit of mould on the corner, so he could have often had to finish the
cheese. Yeah, like blue cheese or something. He didn't realise it was blue cheese when he bought it, something like that.
So, Nathan, just to get you on board with what's going to happen, we're going to go through briefly a couple of questions that I'm asking everyone. Then we'll have a break. Well, maybe have some more questions in the Starbuzz box. We'll have a break. We'll play your song.
Okay.
And then we'll go a bit deeper into your policies, into the mind of Nathan Elias Ruby.
Okay, that's fine. That's brilliant.
So let's firstly just introduce yourself. Obviously, I'm sure you're used to doing this by now. Introduce yourself, where you're from, and why you want to run for president.
As we've said, my name's Nate. I'm from Chicago originally. I don't know what to introduce myself.
Why do you want to run for president?
There's lots of other things that I've done at university. I want to run for president because I believe that the president shouldn't be someone who campaigns merely on slogans or on ideas that are going to make them hit their head into a wall. I think the president should be someone who's realistic and someone who wants things in the students' interests, not just in their own interests. One of the big things about my campaign, perhaps if you're just listening to me now, you might have just seen a few posters, but you haven't been harassed on your way to the library. You haven't been harassed on your way to class, because I don't think that that's a legitimate way to campaign. I really just want to be your voice, and I want to be doing the right things in office to represent you and to make sure that you get the things that you want out of your university experience. Nothing more than that.
So how are you campaigning then?
I'm campaigning largely on Facebook. You can ignore things on Facebook. You can click you want to ignore this kind of stuff if you don't want to see it. People don't do that. People don't know about it, perhaps. But you can definitely get rid of that. And also, I've been stopping to talk with people. While people are having a drink, I'll sit down and say, like, hey, guys, do you have any time? I stopped by the walkway on the way to the physics building yesterday and chatted with some people out there and let them know, like, I'm not trying to spam them. I gave them some cookies. And if they had to get to class, take your cookie and get to class. I don't want people to be forced to vote for someone because they're in their face all the time.
Who made the cookies?
A combination of my girlfriend and a various other lady friends that were at the house while I was doing some posters.
Sounds fair.
But not you.
No, not me. I can cook. I could.
Team is for, isn't it?
That's why you have the campaign team. Originally, I didn't even have a campaign manager, and someone's like, you're going to go crazy. And I was like, I'm sure I'll be fine. And I was fine for the first, like, 3 days. And then I was like, okay, you're in charge of this now. Do this. And then I started saying, do these things to everyone else. And that was nice.
How have you found the hecklings?
Hecklings have been so much fun. It's great to see people who are involved, who want to hear about the issues and sit down and ask important questions that need to be asked. Most people don't understand what the position is, what the position's powers are. A lot of people think, like, we can just poof accommodation. That stuff doesn't happen. But the hecklings have been great. It's really fun just to speak to people and chat with them. Because, I mean, we're all students. There's nothing special about me, except I'd like to do this, and I have some free time next year, seeing as I'm graduating.
Let's briefly go through your policies very quickly. Just run us through them, summarizing vaguely what they're on.
Cool. So the first big one's about involvement. I got slated for this on The Saint today, and by slated, I mean not particularly, but I want to be out at parties and events. I want to be involved with halls. I want to be involved with societies. I think that it's cool that we have a blog and we have a Twitter feed for the union, but we need to do the logical next step, and that's to commit to having this job. You commit to any public office, you have to get rid of a bit of your private life. And if that means, like, I'm not going to sit at home for 6 hours and twiddle my thumbs and watch YouTube and make myself dinner every night, then I'm not going to do that. I'm going to be out with students. I could be listening to Star. The next part's accommodation. I don't see any reason to build a new system if we have something that works but can be expanded and can be made better. The university-managed properties is a great system, and it can be worked on. We can augment it with bursaries. I live in university managed accommodation. I think it's really sweet the way it is. The other thing about accommodation is the amount of decision-making power that students have. We just sent out an accommodation survey from the SRC, which I voted to send out. We got back this fantastic response that said students really don't care if they're subsidizing other people's living costs in the same hall, and they'd prefer to have that than to have a ghettoized community. I mean that in the most politically correct way that I can, but low-income housing on the outskirts of St. Andrews. Kind of seems like an obvious thing that students want to be around any other person, no matter what kind of income level their family has. But the university didn't think about it. So with some of the things, it's just just oversight. And going back to my first point, through being involved, you can see more of this stuff. The next points are there's just two more big ones. Widening access. We have a very posh reputation. It's not that. And that's what's holding us back from attracting people from lower-income communities. They hear the word St. Andrews and they think Prince William, and then they don't think about it again. Or they hear the word St. Andrews and they think only posh assholes go there. I think wankers is a term I used last night, which got publicized, which was great. and that can get combated through defeating this elitist image of St. Andrews that the media has taken upon themselves for the past 30 or so years. And that can only be combated through students working through things like rape pictures and bubble TV, putting that stuff out on YouTube, putting that stuff out in papers, and doing a widespread publicity thingy to make the rest of the world see that we're not that kind of institution. The last one is working on a political level. I had someone come in send me an email today that said, you know, Patrick O'Hare took a lot of holidays off to London to chat about politics like every month. And he wasn't involved in students, and people didn't like that. I think it is important that we remain, to some instance, involved in the political landscape of the country. For instance, a thing that's really affecting me is I can't, bar getting this position, which would allow me to be sponsored by the university. I'm not allowed to be sponsored anywhere else, really, except for universities, to stay in country next year as an international student. Despite having contributed to the economy, despite having worked jobs here, despite getting a great degree from St. Andrews, That's not acceptable, and we need to work with other unions and institutions and students to combat that. And on a national political level is where that battle needs to be fought, because I'm sure the university is behind it. So we do have to work on all these different levels to get stuff done, and I'm prepared to work on them.
Great. What do you think is the biggest problem facing the university in the coming year?
The biggest problem facing the university or the biggest problem facing students?
The student association, the union.
Facing the union. The biggest problem immediately facing the institution that is the union is going to be the redevelopment. We're losing Venue 1 for, I think, most of next year. We're getting a space downstairs, which is nice, but it's like a quarter of the union. It's going to be very interesting to see how the director of events and services and the rest of the sabbatical team, hopefully including me, work to figure out a new way of expanding revenue out with Freshers Week. There's many ways to do this, though. We can utilize other venues. One of my plans is to use the new website to create this new electronic version of a sign-in sheet, so we don't have the limited, so that we can evolve beyond the limited resources we'll have during redevelopment at the union, so that things can keep going, so money can keep coming back, and so that societies receive their funding. Because how societies get funded is entirely through the union, almost entirely through what goes behind the bar. And if we don't have a bar, we can't have societies. If we don't have events here, we can't have societies, because the money that comes off the events, a portion of it comes back here. So we need to really invest some time in looking at new venues for that stuff.
If that's the biggest problem, then why isn't that a part of your four main policies that you've identified?
Well, you said we're working with the union, and that ultimately falls under the Director of Student Development Activities and the Director of Events and Services. There's bigger problems affecting students, and the role of the association president is to, in a sense, lead the other sabbatical candidates. But it's much more to deal with student welfare. If you think about the sabbatical positions, you have DOES and DASDA working together here, and then next door in slightly smaller offices, you have the president and the director of representation working here. Now, myself and the director of representation work a lot more with the university court and work a lot more with the principal and make university-wide decisions, whereas the other two sabbatical candidates more manage the actual functioning of the union. I'm also in charge of helping them to protect it, but it's not a main point for me because I have a giant remit and it includes these things, but overall there are overarching issues of speciality that I have to look into, and the ones I mentioned are those.
Got a question in on the buzz box for you, and they're asking, do you think we have too many students here?
Part of me wants to say, do I ever? We have taken in too many students for the amount of accommodation. Going from my first year to second year, it was a nightmare. We ended up living in a house where the boiler broke during right before reading week, because we still had reading week. And I had a landlord that tried to kick us out in the middle of winter. Because she didn't have an HMO license because she didn't realize she had to get one. I shouldn't be having to choose between that and not having accommodation or that and living in Dundee. And that's really shameful. I think the university is aware that they have this problem. I think there's significant overlap that it falls in the cracks, so to speak. I do think we have too many students, and we need to be looking at solutions like having new accommodation built, or expanding access to more letting properties. You guys already had Duncan on, right?
Yeah.
He has this great idea to make this guide to how to let, and to let people know that have property in St. Andrews understand how easy it is to work with the university to do that, or to work with one of the private things, though we'd prefer them to work with the university because we can ensure cheaper rents that way. But by getting something through like that me and Duncan think is a great idea, that increases the amount of property that's available for students to live in by a ton. And that's going to be really helpful for solving the issue of too many students.
Just before we go to a short break, what do you think puts you above the rest of the candidates? What makes you stand out? Why should we vote for you rather than for the other three?
Yeah, a lot of the other candidates have... I don't want to be negative. I have direct experience within the union. I've maintained a very grounded sort of way of working with the union. I've been the director of events on Star. I've been an events officer at Music Is Love. I've worked with Hall Sports. I've worked on three major sports teams, just playing on them. I've worked really in depth with the underground music scene. And this year, I'm the SRC member for Environment and Ethics, which means I'm working with transition and estates. All of that work has been within the union and it has been working with students. I think what I bring is a continuation of that ethic, that I'm for students first, that I understand what students need, that I'm not coming with an outsider's vendetta of things that I personally want to change. I want to work with what students want to change and what students think is important.
You mentioned you were the event manager for Star and for Music Is Love. Why are you running for president rather than for director of events and services?
I got asked that by Maxwell Baldy, the bow tie candidate, yeah. For those of you that are aware. the thing that I want to... the reason I'm not running for those things is because there's already... there's well-qualified candidates for those positions. When I initially looked at the list of people running for president, I didn't see as well-qualified, as well able to speak on behalf of students
so
running.
So this is the easy option, then?
I don't think it's the easy option, no, by no means. And I've run a particularly interesting campaign in terms of publicity to do it. I think that you need to have someone that is like the DASDA, that is like DOES, running for the roles of DUREP and the president. Because if you don't have someone that's grounded and that understands what students are doing in those positions, then you neglect the students. And you have your own small policy task force, and you go off in pursuit of that. And we've seen in previous presidencies that just results in banging your head against the wall, some interesting articles in the Saint, and sticking up your middle finger at a meeting at the Kenley Wind Farms and walking out. And that doesn't solve anything.
Great. Let's go to your song. The first song you've chosen is I Knew You Were Trouble by Taylor Swift.
The only reason I want this is so I can shout the goat thing during the breakdown.
We hope you enjoyed the GOAT remix of Taylor Swift's I Knew You Were Trouble by the news team special, I don't know, the Star News special edition, elections edition with the presidents.
Feet Nate Elias.
Featuring Nate Elias. Maybe. Excellent. We've had quite a lot of activity in the Buzzbox, as far as I know.
We do.
Hi, Buzzbox.
Here's the first question from the Buzzbox for you. in the nicest possible way, you have a reputation of being particularly blunt, dogmatic, and sometimes difficult to work with.
Are they literally reading my questions?
I
wasn't using those words, but...
But how do you feel your attitude will go down with the university staff?
What I think is interesting is... Well, I don't know where the question's coming from. In my role as SRC and SSC, while I'm blunt in terms of word choice, when you're working at a professional level, you change that. And you change how you're speaking to suit the people you're working with. If I meet with the Dalai Lama, I'm not going to go, "Oh, hey, how the fuck's it going?" Because that's not what you say to the Dalai Lama. You treat them with the amount of courtesy, not that they deserve, because students deserve courtesy, but with the language that you'd normally use them. When I'm speaking to students at Hecklings and when I'm speaking with you guys and the candidates at the debate, I'm using how I'd normally speak to people that I trust as friends or as acquaintances.
Why is that? Why do you not think that during something like the Hecklings, where you are kind of elevated to a certain level, not above the students, but at least, you know, you are the focus mm-hmm. of attention. Why do you not think that the language should be altered slightly?
Because I'm still a student, and I want students to know that while I'm in office, I'm going to be a graduated student by then, but I'm not aloof from the mentality. And I mean, you hear real politicians swearing in the background all the time, and they come on stage and they apologize, and it's like a gaffe, and it's like, just be yourself. Why wouldn't you want to be yourself in the role that you're serving in? In terms of working with people, to get back to the question, I do compromise on a variety of things that are going on. I've done this a lot this year in SRC and SSC. There's been a lot of things that I've wanted to bring forward, a lot of things that I thought weren't so cool that the university's doing, and I brought that before the university and said, look, this isn't cool. I really don't like this. I don't think it's worthwhile. But then they tell me, they sit down with me and we have a chat. And I always make sure that I sit down in person with these people and talk to them. And we go through things and they tell me, well, this is what I think and this is my concern with what you're doing. And when you do it like that, you learn to appreciate what the other side has to say. And you bring that back and you say, you have a new viewpoint. And that's how everything should go. But in terms of student issues, I'm always going to make sure that I'm working on your behalf. So while... It's a tricky situation, and you certainly have to learn what to compromise and what to stick up for. And I think that throughout my past experience, I've learned when to do what.
Before picking up on some of your individual policy areas, I was just wondering what your plans are for after the summer if you don't get this role.
So I'm quite excited. I've gotten into postgraduate study at the University of Manchester. To do environmental science and government, which might be a cool master's role. I'd prefer to go out and get a job. I've just today completed an interview with the Student Conservation Association. They're looking for a crew leader and an environmental educator. So I'm hoping to start that. That interview went really well. I've also applied with a group called the Island Institute that works with development on offshore year-round living islands off the coast of Maine.
Lovely. We've not discussed this yet, but in part of your policy, you talk about these green grants that mm-hmm. you brought in as the ethics and environmental officer.
Yeah.
And say that these could be extended to become union grants for people with creative projects.
Yeah.
Do you not think, given the current financial issues that we're facing, and, you know, would the university really be willing to just dish out money to people with a good idea?
It has nothing to do with the university, which is a cool thing. It's part of the SRC-SSC discretionary fund. So Music is Love gets a budget each year. The SRC gets a budget each year. And that's supposed to go to the benefit of the students. We've had problems in locking it so that students can get access to it. But the way that a union grant would work is there would be an obvious website, or you could talk to your SRC or SSC member for it, et cetera. And you would say, I want to do this. It falls within your remit. Do you think this is a good spend of this this budget's money? And if you convince them it's a good idea, it comes to me and I would make the final decision on that. But it is something that's supposed to be being utilized by students each year and just hasn't. I think I'm the only person sitting on the SRC or the SSC that's used it, and I think I've only spent like £400 of it. So it'd be really interesting to see how much more creative, how many more campaigns, how much more stuff we could create.
So for you, it's not about creating something new, it's more about bringing that possibility more to become more visible to students who don't otherwise know about it.
It's a bit of both, because no one's used it in that sort of way before. It's meant for SRC members to head off their own campaigns. And I thought, what if we gave it to the students? Wouldn't that work better? Because we're here representing them, and wouldn't it be better if students had their exact say over where they want their money to go? One of the things this is doing this year is building the community garden in Albany Park, which has finally gotten approved by estates and should be up next year. This is a part of what green grants can do, and that wouldn't have happened otherwise. Or union grants, once we expand.
On the topic of those union grants, we've got a question in from Student One about that.
Hi, Student One.
Asking how it differs from the current SRC, SSC options, and says that there is not actually an SRC-SSC joint fund, as you've claimed. So this would be a misuse of the discretionary fund.
That's interesting. I've talked to Freddie Ford about it in terms of using it for green grants, and it is under the remit of any SRC or SSC member to use. I'm not giving this out from the president to students. I'm giving it out through the SRC and through the SSC for students. I'm a bit confused of what they're saying. It is an SRC and SSC discretionary fund. So,
but they're claiming it's not a joint fund, which they say you have.
To the best of my knowledge, it is. If there's not, this means that we have 12 grand sitting around, and that should be used even more so for the students if it's two separate funds. Or we have the same amount and we can pull it between them. The fund exists. The money is there. People are keen to do it.
Okay, thank you for the questions on the Buzz Box. I think we'll probably not get time to answer any more today, but I'm sure the candidates will be happy to hear them individually. We'll finish with one final question from the Buzz Box, which is from No Portfolio, who we've heard from several times this afternoon. Mm-hmm. And they're asking, what do you think of people calling you the alternative candidate?
Seriously? Like, have you read my notes or something? This is ridiculous.
I'm fine with being the alternative candidate. I've always stuck up for what students want, and that often goes against the status quo. When Music is Love and the union were only bringing in folk bands, I said, we have a giant music scene here that we're not utilizing, and myself, along with members of the Retrophobes and the Dirty Hemingways, brought that up from the ground, and now it's a staple of the St. Andrews music scene is coming out to see the joint gigs that we all put on. An alternative candidate is what we need. We need someone who is a mixture between someone like Patrick O'Hare and someone like Freddie Ford. We need that to jointly get things done and actually get them done and also be connected with students. And without that, what's the point of having an association president who continues a status quo of something? We should always be trying to make things better, but we shouldn't try and go for outlandish things that are going to lead to head bashing against the wall. I'm fine with being the alternative candidate if the alternative candidate means the best candidate.
Before we go to your final song, just a reminder that elections do start tomorrow morning. It's 6 a.m. that the polls open, and they stay open till 6 p.m. on Friday. So I'm sure you'll all be
so wake up,
early, so cast your votes, and you can do that from 6 a.m. tomorrow through till 6 p.m. on Friday. And tonight there is a debate here in the Union in Venue 1 at 8 p.m. where you can ask the candidates and hear their views on more things. So if you didn't get a chance to ask them your question on the Buzz Box today, do come along tonight and speak to them there.
It'll also be live streamed on Star's second stream.
It will.
So you can listen to it live. And, of course, if you're fed up of elections news, just a quick plug here from my show. Tomorrow at 5, Alexander Jones Live, we'll be having an election-free hour of St. Andrews news.
I would plug my show, but it should be happening right now, so I've missed out on doing it this week.
My show's next.
Nathan, for just finally, this song is I couldn't find the one that you the specific one you offered. So this one's Anything by Kesha. So it's TikTok, which is the one I found.
Okay, that's fine. TikTok is what I played at the end of all my shows on Star. So I want to keep it in custom.
Very fitting then. This is TikTok by Kesha. Thank you very much for tuning in. Don't forget the debates tonight at 8 p.m. and voting begins at 6 a.m. tomorrow.
Cheers.
Good afternoon.